So how did you do in school? What kind of grades? What kind of grades did you get? I mean, this isn't confession time, Gorman. We're not really looking for an answer. That's kind of a rhetorical question that we don't want you to answer out loud. Because for some of you, it'd be pretty impressive. You know, how'd you do in school? You know, some of you graduated with like a 4.75643 GPA. That's pretty impressive. That takes a lot of A's. To get a GPA like that. Others of you, your GPA was, you know, maybe 1.75343, you know, and it that's pretty impressive. You got to get a lot of C's to get it that high, so that it's almost to a 2.0. How'd you do in school? How many A's did you get in school? On the day of judgment, what kind of grades are you going to get? What kind of grades are you going to get? Are you going to get any A's on the day of judgment? This morning, I want us to think about four A's for the day of judgment. And on that day, there's going to be a lot of things that transpire on that day, but I want us to think about four A's. Four A's to help us to realize, what is judgment going to be like? And as I think about these four A's can help me on the day of judgment to get an A, hopefully. On the day of judgment, what kind of grade do you want to get? Do you want to get an A? Here's the deal. Here's the nice thing about God, is that if you're a child of God, God grades on the curve. Did you like it when your teachers graded on the curve? Some of us really liked it when the teacher graded on a curve. Some of us didn't like it when the teacher graded on the curve, because that meant the rest of the class didn't do so well. But most of the rest of us liked it when the teacher graded on a curve. Would you like God, when we get there on the day of judgment, would you like Him to grade on a curve? Would you like Him to be able to give you an A, maybe even when you don't deserve an A? Four A's about the judgment. And we're going to get most of these from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, so you might want to turn your Bibles and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's talk about four A's on the day of judgment that can help us to get an A on the day of judgment. The first A on the day of judgment is the word all. All are going to be there on the day of judgment. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all," A-L-L. There's a parallel passage almost over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10, the Bible says, "We shall all appear." As if to say, it's going to happen, we shall all appear. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Who does that leave out? If the Bible says, all will be there, can you think of somebody that's not going to be there? Can you think of somebody that was just really good in this life, and they're not going to have to be there on the day of judgment? Buzz, we're not going to use this. If you can kill that, we're doing a completely different sermon than this, because I didn't think we were going to have this. But thank you anyway. I thought PowerPoint was dead, so we'll do this sermon some other time. So where were we? So all are going to be there. Can you think of anybody that's not going to be there? In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great." Does that leave anybody out? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Who does that leave out? So people who are living are going to be judged. People who are dead are going to be judged. Who does that leave out? Nobody. On the day of judgment, everybody is going to be there. That's going to be kind of crowded, isn't it? I mean, are they going to be wearing masks, social distancing, 6-foot markers on the day of judgment? Or am I going to have to stand 6 feet back from everybody? How is that going to work? Do you have in your imagination what it's going to be like when every person who has ever lived on this earth is gathered around the throne of Jesus? Do you have a picture of what that's going to look like? That's what Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says, "When Jesus returns and all of His holy angels with Him, He's going to sit on the throne of His glory, and all nations will sit before Him," will stand before Him. Everybody's going to be there. What's that going to be like? When you get there for the day of judgment, are you going to be ready? There's going to be some other people around you who are not going to be ready. Are you going to be ready? There may be some other people on the all that are there. There may be some other people that are a little bit nervous about being there. Are you going to be nervous about being there? Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What does Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 say? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody is going to be there that day. It's an appointment that we will not miss. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the judgment day? Second A. If we want to get an A on the day of judgment, first A is all are going to be there. Second A is that the authority of Jesus is going to be there. The authority of Christ is going to be that which is there and that which judges us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what does it say? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Judge Judy. Is that what your Bible says? That'd be a funny Bible. Haley says that's what her Bible says. She's using one of those weird translations you can find online. Okay? That we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. On the day of judgment, who's going to be your judge? Who's going to be the one that determines your final sentence? Who would you like to be there? Who would you like to be the one who is judging you on that day? Would you like it to be your worst enemy? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Your worst enemy is your judge on that day who determines whether you go to heaven or hell. Would you like it to be your worst enemy? How about the worst sinner who's ever lived? Would you like him to be that? How about your best friend? Wouldn't it be cool if your best friend could be your judge? Well, who's Jesus? Is Jesus your friend? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The authority of Christ is what will determine our final sentence on that day. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He who rejects me and receives not my word has that which judges him." Jesus, what's going to judge me? What's going to be that determining factor as to whether I enter into heaven or not? The Bible says, Jesus says in John 12 and verse 48, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when it comes to getting an A on the day of judgment, that if I want to know how to get an A on the day of judgment, God gives me a cheat sheet. Don't raise your hand if you ever used a cheat sheet in school. Don't laugh, don't smile, don't do anything if you ever used a cheat sheet in school. Did you ever have a teacher who let you use like an index card? I had a teacher one time who let us use a 3x5 card. And so anything that we could write on that 3x5 card, we could have for the test. Guess what I learned how to do that week? How to use one of those fine tip pens. Really fine. The ones I write on my Bible with that have the 005 on them. And I learned how to write as small as I could on the two sides of that 3x5 card because guess what? I could take that to the test. I could use that 3x5 card in the test. It was my little cheat sheet, but it wasn't a cheat sheet because I wasn't cheating. I had all the answers I needed right there on that 3x5 card. When we get to the day of judgment, guess what we have? We've been given all the answers. Jesus tells us how to be prepared. He says in John 12 and verse 48, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Christ's word is the final authority. Matthew 28 verse 18, he says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." He's the final authority. His word is the final authority. And so when the Bible tells us to do things, by what authority does it tell us to do things? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, does this verse strike you? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, here's Paul, and it's amazing, he's preaching to individuals who at one time, when he appears on the scene, are worshiping the unknown God. They know there's some other God that they've missed in all of their 30,000 idols that are in the city of Athens. They figure there's one that they've missed, and so they've got an idol to the unknown God. And so Paul says, let me tell you about this God who you think and you claim is unknown. And it's in that sermon in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 where Paul says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's the authority of God who commands us to do what? To repent. What motivation do I have to repent? What motivation do I have to change my life? If I'm not ready for the day of judgment today, if Jesus were to come back today and all of a sudden I were standing before Him like everybody else is and His all authority is going to be that which judges me, what motivation do I have today to get ready for that? He commands me to repent. What motivation do I have today to change my life? Are you living right today? Are you serving the Lord right today? What's the first word you've got in verse 31? We quote verse 30, that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. But the first word I've got in verse 31 is the word because. He commands me to repent. Well, what's my motivation to do that? Why should I do that? Because He has appointed a day. God has already determined what day it's going to be, that day of judgment. He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness. And He's not only appointed the day, but what does this verse say? He's appointed the man. He's appointed by the man whom He has ordained. And He's given assurance of this by raising Jesus from the dead. What do I need to do to get ready for the day of judgment? I need to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, well, what's my motivation to do that? My motivation is to realize that God has already appointed a day. He already knows what day it's going to be. It could be today. Could be today. It could be tomorrow morning. God knows the day. We don't. And He's already appointed the judge who has all authority. And when I stand before Him, this one who has all authority, who will determine whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell, wouldn't it be nice on that day if He was my best friend? Wouldn't it be nice on that day if that wasn't the first time that I had confessed His name? That it was not the first time that I had devoted my life to Him? What if on that day I stand before my friend, the one who I've been living for and trying to please? Oh yeah, authority is there that day, but I'm prepared for that authority. You want to get an A on the day of judgment? Realize we're not going to miss that day. All will be there. Want to get an A on the day of judgment? Realize the authority of Jesus is going to be there. How do I get an A on the day of judgment? I take my 3x5 card everywhere I go right now and I learn and I study and I obey what the Bible says. Want to get an A on the day of judgment? A number 3 from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that answers will be given. Answers will be given. What does 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 say? It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. On the day of judgment, I will stand before Jesus who has all authority, and it is going to be His word that is opened. In fact, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 says that books were opened, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that are written in the books. The determination of where I spend eternity will be determined by how I've lived according to the Word of God. And on that day, I'm going to have to give an answer. I have to give an answer to Jesus for how I've lived. In other words, in my imagination, I see Jesus holding His Word on the one hand, His perfect pattern on the one hand, His instructions on the one hand of what He's given to us that pertains to all life and godliness so that we can know how to serve Him. He's going to hold His Word on the one hand. And then in my imagination, I see Him holding my life, the things that I've done, the things that I've said in His other hand. And in my imagination, I see Him bringing my life and holding it right there next to His Word. See, how did David do? Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, that for every idle word that David may speak, he's going to give an account of it on the day of judgment. Every idle word that I speak, Jesus is going to bring that on the day of judgment. I'm going to have to give an answer. I'm going to have to give an answer for those words. I'm going to have to give an answer for those deeds. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6 says, I'm going to be judged according to my deeds. Not your deeds, not somebody else's deeds, according to my deeds. And so Jesus is going to bring my deeds, and He's going to hold them next to His Word, and I'm going to have to give an answer. I'm going to have to give an answer if what I've done and what I've said doesn't match His Word. The very last verse of the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, parallels with a verse over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 that says, on the day of judgment, I'm going to have to, what's going to be there are even the secret things. Even things that nobody else knew about. Or at least I didn't think anybody else knew about them. Even those secret things will be judged on that day. I'm going to have to give an answer for how I've lived. Wouldn't it be nice if those idle words that I spoke that I don't want to be there on the day of judgment, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way for them not to be there on the day of judgment? Wouldn't it be nice for those deeds that I have done that, boy, I really wish I hadn't done them. Wouldn't it be nice if there were a way for those not to show up on the day of judgment? What about those secret things that I've done that nobody else knew about? Wouldn't it be nice if there was a way for those not to show up on the day of judgment? That's what forgiveness is, isn't it? Isn't that what the blood of Jesus does? The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, washes away my sins. So that on the day of judgment, those sins for which I have been forgiven, I will not have to give an answer. Because they have been forgiven. They have been wiped out of my account. They have been wiped out of the mind of God, and He remembers them no more. But anything that I've done or said that I've never been forgiven of, I'm going to have to give an answer. That's, to me, that's sobering. I feel sorry for somebody who might be in the line behind me if I haven't been forgiven of some of my sins. Want to get an A on the day of judgment? Be ready to give an answer for how we've lived. We're all going to be there. The authority of Jesus is going to be there. It's going to be that which judges us, and all of us are going to have to give an answer. And number four, not only are answers going to be given, but awards are going to be given. Awards are going to be announced. Awards are going to be pronounced on that day. What awards are going to be given? Have you ever been to an award ceremony? Ever sat through an award ceremony? Parents, have you ever been to an award ceremony where all of the kids in the school were getting an award that day, and you were there for 4.5 hours while all of the kids are getting an award that day so you could hear one name read for one award that was being given so that you could applaud your child and yes, okay, and then spend the rest of the 4.5 hours. Did you ever do that? Those were the best days ever. To be able to sit there and to see your child receive an award from school. What about on the day of judgment? There's nothing I want more than for my children to receive an award on the day of judgment. But not just any award. To receive the eternal award of heaven. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said all nations would be gathered before Him, verses 31 and 32. He would separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And Jesus says in verse 34 and in verse 40 that there are only two awards that can be given on that day. There's not multiple different awards. There's only two awards. And you might think the second award is not really an award, but it is an award. It's an award for how we have lived. And so He says there's only two awards to be given on that day. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, Jesus says one award would be when he says, "Come, you blessed of my Father. Here's your award. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth," from the foundation of the world. That's award number one. That's award possibility number one. When the Lord says, "You come into this eternal home, this eternal dwelling, and be here forever and ever with me." Who is there? Who is there that doesn't want that award? Who is there that doesn't want that? And yet, in verse 40, he says, not everybody's going to receive that. In fact, that's Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and 40. If you back up into Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus there says, many are not going to receive that. Most are not, only a few are going to receive that award, but most, many are going to receive something very different. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And Jesus says, those are the only two possibilities. As he lays out that judgment scene in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 25, he does not present a third possibility. He does not present a possibility of some place in between where I didn't make it to heaven, but I didn't go to hell. I'm just sort of in limbo somewhere in between. Jesus does not depict that there is such a place. It's either an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. And so if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we've been looking at this verse in verse 10, at these four A's that are listed here. But notice how Paul comes into this. He has been coming into this in those first eight verses, focusing on the award of heaven. He focuses in verse 8 about, we know that when we are absent from the body, that we will be present with the Lord. And so in verse 9, look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Therefore, here's another A for you. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present in the body or absent in the body, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Is that your aim today? Is your aim today to be well-pleasing to the Lord? Is your aim today to be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Paul went on to say in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." When Jesus talked about those two awards, remember, this is the same Jesus who cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says. This is the same Jesus who, when he says something, he means it. This is the same Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, forever, Hebrews 13 verse 8. He's not going to change his mind about what he has declared. Are you ready to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment? Do you know 100% that what you will hear on that day, the award that you will receive on that day, not using the award in a sense that you have earned something. Don't get that idea that this award is because I've earned something. There's no way we will ever earn an opportunity to go to heaven. But it will be a gift. A loving gift given to us by our Savior. Do you know for certain that that award is yours? If not, in just a moment, we're going to sing a song that says, "Come to Jesus, He will save you." Have you ever come to Jesus before? Have you ever come to Him so that He can save you? You know, it's not up to us to decide what that looks like. It's not up to us to decide how that's done. In order for Jesus to be our Savior on the day of judgment, in order for Him to be our friend on the day of judgment, He's got to be our Savior and our friend on this earth. And the only way He can be that is for us to acknowledge His authority on this earth, for us to respect His authority on this earth, and for us to submit to His authority on this earth, to do what He says, so that when we get there on the day of judgment, our 3x5 card is ready, because we've been following everything that He's taught us to do in Scripture. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a faithful Christian? If you're not a Christian this day, the Bible is so clear about how you can become one, and how this day you can allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin you've ever committed. The Bible says we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Do you believe that? It's not some leap in the dark faith. It's not a faith that says, well, you know, I've looked at the options out here. I've looked at the various ideas, and this seems to be the most reliable. No, not the most reliable. Don't buy into something that's the most reliable option out there. Look at the evidence. Is there evidence that there was a man named Jesus who lived on this earth? Yes, there is. Is there evidence that there was this man who lived in Nazareth, who was from Nazareth? He wasn't born in some great premier city and raised in some great place. He was raised in a little podunk place called Nazareth. Is there evidence for that? Yes, there is. Is there evidence that this man was more than just your ordinary man, that he had a greater influence than anybody on the face of this earth? Why, yes, there is. You can go back and see that historically, but you don't have to go back and look at it. Just pull out your calendar. Today is July 19th, 2020. Well, when did 2000 start? Well, that started after 1900s. When did those start? After the 1800s. You know where I'm going, right? When did all of that start? When did you go back to the 300s, 200s, 100s? When did all of that start? Huh. Why did we even have a zero or a one year? Was that because you were so influential and your life was so great that somebody said, you know what? We need to change the calendars for you. They changed the calendars for one man. And now what do we call it? The year of our Lord. Is there evidence about this man named Jesus coming, having an incredible influence on man? Yes. Is there evidence that this man was crucified? Yes. I'm talking about evidence in the Bible and outside of the Bible evidence that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified on that cross. But some people say, well, that's as far as the evidence goes. You haven't investigated the evidence. This man was raised from the dead. Is that something we read in the Bible? Yes, it's something we read in the Bible. It's something we read in the pages of a book that proves that is beyond doubt a document that was not given to us by some random group of men, but was given to us by the God of heaven, because there's no other explanation for the things that we read about in this book. But I want, was he really raised from the dead? The Bible says that he was raised from the dead, but it wasn't just he was raised from the dead and then he just hung out in a corner somewhere. He appeared to people so that they could see not only is this the man that died on the cross, not only was this man they put in the tomb, this is now the same man that we're seeing, flesh and blood body that we're seeing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, and he was seen by, and he was seen by, and he was seen by, he was seen by. And Paul says, you know what? He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, the most of whom are still alive to this day. In other words, go and ask them if they saw this Jesus. But it's not just biblical evidence. Go and study the historical evidence of individuals that talked about this guy named Jesus of Nazareth. They crucified him. They put it on the cross. But you know, he was seen alive 3 days later. Not written by people necessarily because they're trying to teach it, but just documenting history. Pick up a book by Josh McDowell called The Resurrection Factor. Read that book. Pick up a book by Gary Habermas called The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that the name of that book? It's got the word resurrection in it. I'm trying to remember the name of the book. By Gary Habermas, H-A-B-E-R-M-A-S, on the topic of the resurrection. Historical evidence. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? He died on that cross for our sins. Having died there, He calls upon us, what we saw in Acts 17 and verse 30, to turn away from those sins that put Him there, to repent of our sins, Say, I don't want to live that life anymore. I want to serve my Lord. I want to give my life to Him. He gave His life for me. I want to give my life to Him. Turn my life in the direction of Christ. To confess my faith in Him. And to be baptized. Just as they did in the New Testament. So that I can have the remission of every single one of my sins. So that I can stand before Him this day, pure and holy. So that I can stand before Him on the day of judgment, pure and holy, if I've lived a faithful life of service. Where are you today? Are you ready for the judgment day? On the day of judgment, are you going to receive an A from the Lord? Not because you've earned it, but because you followed Him. And the grace of our Lord grades on a curve. And He's seen your faithfulness. And He gives you the award of heaven. If you know heaven is not your eternal destiny, then why don't you come to Jesus right now as together we stand and sing.